Do you have more month than you have money? Are you drowning in debt? Is financial pressure destroying your marriage? Sounds like you need some financial wisdom from above. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." In other words, debt makes you a prisoner of your past. You can't be spiritually free and financially in bondage at the same time. Impulse buying and credit cards is a dangerous combination, turning many soulmates into financial inmates. Remember, it takes minutes to plunge headlong into debt and years to dig out. Free of debt, free from the love of money, free to give generously, and free to have fun. That's financial freedom God's way. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Hello, and thanks for stopping by for today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My name is Brian, so glad to have you with us. Well, true wisdom comes from God and God alone. And if we heed it, true wisdom always leads to a healthier, more joyful life. Today, Ron takes us to the book of Proverbs to share some godly wisdom about our personal finances. Stay with us as he moves ahead in his teaching series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life, or visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. From Proverbs chapter 2, here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message, Financially Wise and Otherwise.
There are at least three taboo subjects in the church that we're not supposed to talk about: money, sex, and politics. Proverbs gives us the opportunity to talk about at least two of those, and maybe all three of them. We've done the sex talk, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, as Solomon is talking to his son about matters relating to his sexual integrity. But you can't do a study of Proverbs very well and sort of skip over all the financial counsel that this 3,000-year-old book gives to us. The book of Proverbs is chock full of financial wisdom, God's perspective on our finances and money and material possessions and all of that. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Years ago, somebody identified over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about money and wealth and our material possessions and our relationship to it. Just a disclaimer here on the front end, I'm not addressing this subject this morning because we have some capital campaign we're rolling out in a few weeks and we're trying to get everybody. Now, I love to talk about this subject because, first of all, it was my undergraduate degree, financial planning was. And when I came through my secular university with that degree and then landed upon all that the Bible has to say about this subject, I just love this stuff, not only to apply to our family life personally, but also to help coach individuals and couples and families in wise financial management from God's perspective. But, you know, we've always said that's one of the things we shouldn't talk about in the church. And I understand sense of distrust and all of that when the preacher talks about money. There's no agenda this morning. We're just in the book of Proverbs, and we're just going to talk about what God has to say, and I hope this is helpful to you, and to you and your family, and to your marriage, and to your situation. Somebody also once said that money makes the world go round. Do you believe that? Well, if you ever went to the musical Cabaret and listened to one of the songs and the lyrics to that song, you might believe it. Money makes the world go round, it says. It makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound. A buck or a pound, a buck or a pound. It all makes the world go round, it says. That clinking, clanking sound makes the world go round. Well, if it does, and that's up for discussion, but if it does, we need to know what God has to say about that clinking, clanking sound. Whether it's a buck or a pound or a mark or a yen or whatever it is, even a dollar, we need to know what God has to say. We need his financial counsel because it all belongs to him anyway. You know that, don't you? Amen. We are merely stewards. We are managers of a sacred trust. And we will be held accountable one day for how we have managed this thing called money. 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus told have a money or stewardship theme to them. And it's all pointing to, many of them, to the second coming of Jesus Christ and that day when the Master will hold us accountable for how we have managed his wealth. Why does the Bible talk so much about money? Well, I can think of two or three reasons. First of all, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. He says, you'll either love the one and hate the other, you'll be devoted to one, or you'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, Jesus said. He didn't say it's difficult to serve God and money. He says, you can't do it. Either God is first in your life, or money's going to be first in your life. But if you try to put both of them on the same plane, it just doesn't work. You're going to hate one, despise the other. So, you know, Jesus' words point us to this tricky thing called money. It can easily become an idol in our life if we're not careful. Also, the Bible tells us that money can be disappointing. If you put all your trust into money, you might just be disappointed. Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 4 and 5 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Isn't that the way money is? You ever had some money in the stock market and suddenly the stock market decides to correct itself? And those wings start to sprout on your money and it just flies off to the sky like an eagle and you're reaching after it. Where did it go? Money can disappoint you that way. You put all your trust in your savings and your bank accounts and your retirement accounts, and one day it may just all disappear. It may just all fly away. If I read the Bible correctly, there's a coming economic crisis and earthquake, even as we go to the end of the age, that will just devastate this world. All the financial experts, Wall Street and in other places, they don't know what's about to come just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it warns us with these words. It says, those who want to get rich, they fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. There's a buyer beware warning on money that we all need to be aware of. You know, you make it the focus of your life to want to get rich and to want to have more money, and you may fall into a temptation and into a trap. It goes on to say, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's why it's important to decide who's really the master of your life. Is it Jesus Christ or is it the almighty dollar? So we're going to talk about some of those things from Solomon's perspective in the book of Proverbs. By the way, how many of you want to experience financial freedom? Anybody here? Every hand should go up because the alternative is financial bondage. All right, so how many of you want to experience financial freedom? All right, well, here's what the Bible says about freedom. I wrote down some of these verses. John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I know that applies to our salvation, but it also applies to a lot of areas of life. You know the truth about something, and that'll set you free. You know the truth about money and finances and our relationship to it, and you'll be on your way to experiencing financial freedom. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Galatians 5 and verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives. I know a lot of that applies to our salvation and not being slaves anymore to sin, but here's what I've discovered over the years. The devil loves to mess with our finances in a way that he creates financial bondage. Even so, in a marriage relationship where a husband and a wife are maybe not on the same page financially, they're not financial soulmates, they're financial inmates because they have different financial personalities. They spend and make money differently and view money differently, and they've just gotten into a snarl in their marriage relationship. The number one cause of divorce today is financial stress. So if for no other reason, you need to hear God's financial wisdom just to bring peace to your marriage and to your family. and to be well on your way to experiencing financial freedom God's way. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning on the front end. And as I share these thoughts, just understand I'm not sharing them as a pastor in an ivory tower somewhere where I took a book off the shelf and I got this financial lesson to teach. This is stuff I've been living out for 30 years. And I say 30 years because for about a decade before Catherine and I married, I was a young adult in the business world. I had a financial planning degree from Purdue University. And I came out and I came in contact with guys like Larry Burkett and others who were teaching biblical financial stewardship. Larry is one of the pioneers on radio teaching Christian financial concepts. And when that intersected with my secular training in financial planning, I thought, wow, this is really cool stuff. And what I've discovered over the years in every church that I've served is there's great financial pain in every congregation because we've all made financial mistakes. And we've gone down a financial path, not according to God's wisdom, but maybe according to the world's wisdom, maybe according to Wall Street, or maybe according to our own foolish financial sense. And so, these are things that Catherine and I have applied in our family and in our marriage for more than 20 years. It's things that I've been living out for more than 30 years. Here's what I've learned about financial freedom. Biblical financial freedom is four things. Number one, it's free of debt. Free of debt. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. In other words, you are a prisoner of your past as it relates to your debt. Debt makes you a prisoner of your past. And it takes about 2 seconds to get into debt. As long as it takes to sign that credit card or to sign some other debt obligation. It takes years to get out of debt if you don't already have the money in the bank to pay off the debt obligation when the bill comes.
Up next, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, Wise Sayings, Guidance for Everyday Life. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to watch or listen to the entire series or to download Ron's sermon notes from today's message. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Up next, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones. But first, he joins me now to talk about his new book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, so excited about the release of your new book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend and request a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Did you know there are more than 2,000 Bible verses about money and our relationship to it? If it's important enough for God to share, it's important enough for us to learn. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Financially Wise and Otherwise.
So debt makes you a prisoner of your past. If you want to be financially free, you have to avoid the debt monster out there. And you have to figure out a way, if you're in debt, to get yourself out of debt. I want to suggest to you that you cannot be completely free in Christ and in financial bondage at the same time. It's one of the things the devil loves to do to create bondages in our life, is to mess with our finances in a way that, well, as many Americans are trying to do, try to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. Oh, not yours truly. The Joneses are trying to keep up with the Smiths and the Browns, right? But everybody's trying to keep up with somebody out there. So let's talk about the proverbial Joneses for a moment. John and Jane Jones. We got a picture of them up here. We got John and Jane Jones. Are they coming? There they are. Aren't they a happy-looking couple? Just came back from a shopping spree at the local mall. Good-looking couple there. They're about to hop into their latest SUV and drive back home to their nice big 4,000 or 5,000 square foot house. They look like what we want to strive for. But if you look under the hood of their financial life, it tells a different story. In fact, let's take a look at a few things here. They're in their early to mid-40s. Both of them work. They have kids in daycare. But they're like 76% of Americans today that have less than $1,000 in the bank. That's the latest statistic. 76% of Americans have less than $1,000 in the bank. No savings, no retirement. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt up to their eyeballs with 23% interest on credit cards, multiple credit cards. They're house poor. You know what that means? They bought more house than they can really afford. Oh, the mortgage company told them they could afford it. But they're drowning. And that mortgage payment they have makes them think twice about going to Chili's with the family, let alone going on vacation very much. They have 2 car payments. That means they're driving themselves to the poorhouse. I can show you a way to always pay cash for your car. I don't have time to do that this morning. Talk to me after the service. They worry about money. They have a home equity loan. You know, they dipped into that equity in their house. Now they have 2 payments. They're on the verge of bankruptcy, if the truth be known. And the stress in their marriage, oh, they look happy. They're coming home with all these sacks full of sale goods. But the stress in their marriage is bringing them to the brink of divorce. Number one cause of divorce in marriage today is financial stress. So everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths or the Browns. Joneses are heading toward the poorhouse. Most Americans are. So if you want financial freedom God's way, we're talking about being free of debt. Listen to how Solomon counsels his son, Proverbs chapter 6. My son, if you put up security for your neighbor, this is somebody who co-signs on a note for somebody who can't get a bank loan, and they come to you with a sad story. Oh, I got this great business idea, or I need this loan, or there's a reason the bank won't loan them the money. Don't co-sign on that note. But if you do, if you've given pledge for a stranger, Solomon says, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Can you just sense the urgency in Solomon's mind looking at his son saying, stay out of debt. And if you're in debt, do whatever you can to get out of it. Get out of debt. You'll never be financially free, and I'll even suggest spiritually free in Christ completely until you get on that path to being debt-free. I'm not saying you don't have a mortgage, but a reasonable one, but you're living a debt-free life. Number two is free from the love of money. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and become content with what you have. Now, that's a word, isn't it? Contentment. It's It's one of those strange things that most people in our culture, contentment, what's that? Contentment is the antidote to consumerism. Consumerism is that thing in our culture that pushes us and urges us to trade in and buy up, and you need the newest and the latest, you know, smartphone and the newest and the latest model of the car and all that. And there's just this relentless pressure from Madison Avenue in New York City to buy this and trade up that. And it's called consumerism. And it's the engine that drives our economy. Problem is, it drives us to the poorhouse if we're not saving and investing and always buying. So contentment is the antidote to consumerism. And the Bible tells us that the love of money, not money itself, because money is neutral, the love of money and the things that money buy is the root of all kinds of evil, the scripture says. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So if you want to experience financial freedom God's way, it's free of debt, it's free from the love of money. Here's the third one, free to give generously. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Apostle Paul is quoting the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, remember when he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. How many of you believe that is true, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? All right, that's great. Now, if I were to look into your financial life, I took a little peek into your checkbook, would there be evidence in your financial life that you really do believe that's true, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? You see, that's where the rubber kind of meets the road, doesn't it? It's easy to say, oh yeah, I want the blessed life. I want to experience the blessed life. But when Jesus says, okay, it's more blessed to give than to receive, then we're going to have to approach these finances and this money thing in a slightly different way. We're going to have to learn to give generously. There was an old limerick that said, there once was a man, some thought him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Isn't that great? But that's very biblical. Very biblical, because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. You see, you can't outgive God. Give and it shall be given unto you. Some people think it's nothing but madness. You talk to a secular financial planner and you tell him, hey, I give to God first. He's going to think you're crazy. You'll never reach your financial goals that way. Well, I got a different story to tell you. Wall Street says that if we're going to be prosperous, we need to learn how to buy and sell. No, the Bible says we need to sow and reap. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously reaps generously. And that was in the context of a major section of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul is addressing matters related to giving. And he points to the farmer as an analogy of what's true in the natural world and in the farming world is also true in our financial world. Whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but the farmer who generously scatters his seed can anticipate a generous harvest. Now, I'm not a prosperity theologian. Please understand that. But I am a biblical theologian. And there's nothing more clear than what the Apostle Paul says in that context. It's all about money. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly, sow generously. Give and it shall be given unto you, Jesus says. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. The measure with which you give, he says, is the measure with which it will be given back to you. That's biblical economics. And it runs contrary to everything we think.
Did you know there are more than 2,000 Bible verses about money and our relationship to it? If it's important enough for God to share, it's important enough for us to learn. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Financially Wise and Otherwise. Thanks so much for being here for today's message, Financially Wise and Otherwise. Be sure to stop by somethinggoodradio.org to hear any of Dr. Ron Jones' messages on demand.
The financial plan that Catherine and I have lived off of for more than two decades, I call it the 10-10-80 financial plan. It's very simple, based on biblical principles. And I just want to share it with you today because this works, okay? It works.
How does this 10-10-80 plan work? Find out next time in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Financially Wise and Otherwise. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.